On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining us on the Commons today, we have Dr. Gary Solomon from Las Vegas, Nevada. Dr. Solomon's been a little bit different than most of us. He has taken the concept of protecting individual property rights to great heights, including billboards and a phenomenal website called HOAacademy.com, and we're going to talk to him about that. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm honored to be a part of it. Thanks for inviting me.
So tell us a little bit. First of all, you started with your billboard. Don't buy in an HOA. No, you didn't say that. You said it would make you sick, right?
Well, I was pretty blunt about it. After I had been working on my research for a while, I wanted to pass the word to the entire community. So I took some money and I literally put up a billboard that said HOA may be hazardous to your health. And that was up for a couple months. That billboard now has gone on national with other people adopting it. For anybody that would like to see it, you can check the images on your websites, and you'll see the billboards there, and it certainly did get the attention that I had hoped for.
The other thing, that you're a psychologist, and you've coined a new phrase, HOA syndrome.
Yes. Yes, HOA syndrome is what we call a constellation of problems that are very similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. What makes HOA syndrome different, and I believe ultimately categorical to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is the book that we use in our field, is that this problem is based on harassment. And where post-traumatic stress disorder comes about as the result of an event, such as a war or an automobile accident, post-traumatic stress disorder is as a result of that event. In HOAs, it's a result of longitudinal harassment, the letter, the feelings, the problems that are in the community, the board meetings, the statements from other people. These harassments build over time, causing people to have experiences such as an inability to sleep, uncontrollable anger, aches and pains in the body, problems related to work. They come home and they're having problems with their family. Certainly major problems associated with mood disorders and anxieties, fears of going to the mailbox. Again, a wide range of problems down to and including irritable bowel syndrome. And ultimately, I think we're going to find, if we're given the opportunity to do these studies, that these stress-related illnesses are leading to early death. They're leading to problem pregnancies. People who are pregnant living in homeowners associations are under unnecessary stress. And people who have commented initially on this have thought, oh, this is, you know, voodoo. But the truth is that we have long-term studies, good long-term studies on the subjects related to stress and stress-related illnesses. And herein brings us back to HOA syndrome and what I get emails and calls from all over the country, homeowners, people living in trailer parks, people living in condos, townhouses, who had never, ever expected, once they bought into their dream home or the home that they wanted to call home, that in fact it would turn into a war zone.
You would be surprised that I get a whole lot of calls from people saying, I'm sick, and they find out that, then you find out they're having HOA problems. Now, you've had this out for a while. Is the medical profession listening to you, or are they still a little skeptical about it all?
You know, Shu, it is a very slow process getting people to listen. I'm going to take a giant leap here and say that when the AIDS, our awareness of something called AIDS came out, it took a long time to get the medical community to acknowledge it. And in the process, thousands of people died. And there were protests in the streets and major problems before someone stands up and says, yes, this is a problem. And then, of course, there was the misunderstanding about it. But I don't want to talk about AIDS. I want to talk about how long it takes to get the community to recognize. And it is a protracted process. I expect it to take 10 to 15 years before the psychiatric community begins to actually acknowledge it as part of any separate disorder. This was true, by the way, of battered wife syndrome. It was true of post-traumatic stress disorder. It was true of all other disorders started with, this isn't true, now let's prove that it's true.
But, you know, there's no question that stress is a factor.
Yes.
That has been accepted widely. That
yes.
Stress can make you do things that can affect you psychologically. It can affect you physically as well. There's no question there, right?
That is correct. The science is solid. The science is good, and we know that it's good.
And so, what's the problem with admitting that living in an HOA is stressful? I mean, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it?
Yes, it does come down to that. When I use a diagnosis such as HOA syndrome, I've now identified stress as it relates to a certain community. And therein lies part of the problem, in that the psychiatric community, the medical community, may not yet be willing to acknowledge that. Also remember that there are problems with the insurance community. If this is in fact a diagnosis, and then people can go in and get treatment for it. It means that insurance companies may be responsible for it. The other problem is that if it is acknowledged as a diagnosis, this puts the counties as well as the states potentially liable for creating the problem. And now, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this has been created by the state. And my research of late shows that the state, I'm in Nevada, I don't know where other people are, but in Nevada, the state of Nevada is very aware of this. It's not secretive to them anymore. But the states are making so much money off of the homeowners associations that they don't want to do anything. If it's okay with you, Shu, I'd like to possibly talk about this and create a new awareness about this.
Absolutely. Please do.
What has happened over time is that I believe that the individual states, and I'm going to use Nevada for the example, have become habituated to homeowners associations. And here's why. When the planning commissions get together and they plan out the city expansion, what's going to be built, they decide that there'll be a shopping center and a strip this and a whatever it is. Well, some of those areas are housing, but almost all housing areas today are identified as housings that are going to be homeowners associations. Why is that important for the states? It's because they save an enormous amount of money. And here's how it's done. If the homeowners association is built, the streets are put in, it's all paid for by the developer. Now the individual who buys that house pays taxes like everybody else does in the state. But everybody else's taxes, who are not in homeowners associations, go to pay for the maintenance of the streets and the lights and the whatever needs to be handled in the community. But not in homeowners associations. Now you're double taxed. You're now paying state tax for the property, and now you're paying tax in the form of dues. And those dues go to pay for the maintenance of the streets and the lights and the gates. Therefore, the states have become habituated on the savings of the money, and they don't want to stop that.
It goes a little beyond that, Gary, in that you've also got this movement now, the smart growth. You don't want urban sprawl. You want walkable communities. And at least in places like the Washington, D.C. area and right where I am, in fact, right in this very studio, they're tearing down everything. Parking lots are now becoming massive condominium complexes. It's unbelievable what they're squeezing in into the small space, and they're selling this by saying it's a walkable community. You can walk to the grocery store. You can walk and buy whatever it is you want. You don't need a car. You can get on the train. And so they're taking existing housing that is not part of an HOA and making it part of an HOA, a mandatory HOA.
Yes. So, and with that, the state immediately saves money. So that tax dollar that the property tax dollar that goes into the state does not go back out to maintaining that property. So it's an enormous savings, and this is why I say that I believe that the states have become habituated to this savings of money.
I think I want to go back to the insurance and why people are not accepting this or not embracing the concept that HOAs are, that there is an HOA syndrome, that it is contributing to the imbalance of the population, and we're seeing that, and we're going to be talking a little bit about what's been happening. But also you said insurance and state action. And
yes.
You've opened up a whole can of worms there.
Yes.
It's huge,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's enormous. If I use the, for example, use the Veterans Administration. If someone comes back from serving in Iraq, let's say, and is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, they're going to receive services through the Veterans Administration, which is as a result of tax dollars that are being spent to support that. Well, now imagine for a moment that we acknowledge officially HOA syndrome, and that each individual who now lives in a homeowners association has entitlement to treatment. Who's going to pay for that treatment? And it is going to be an enormous problem. Now, could we solve the problem very simply? Sure. Don't cause the syndrome.
Yeah.
And even that problem is very easy to solve by not inducing these issues. And we could, you know, move now to why do we induce these issues? Why do we cause them? Well, it's all in the name of money. There isn't anything about what's going on with homeowners associations that's not tied to profit making. And as long as there are a few people out there that are making the enormous amount of money that they're making, they're not going to stop inflicting this harm because there's no harm to them.
Yeah, in one of your videos, and I'm going to jump back to your website just very briefly, but in one of your videos that I was watching a little earlier, it says, if I have irritated those of you who are making money in these agencies. Shame on you.
Yes.
Shame on you. Gary, have you heard from anybody within CAI, the Community Associations Institute? That's the large organization that supports the HOA industry, not the homeowners, but the industry, the people who make money off of HOAs.
Well, the answer to your question is I did some years ago. I have not heard lately, and here's why I believe I've not heard. I think that the organization has become so big, it has become so mighty, that for them, people like me, you, others across the country that are trying to do something, we're meaningless. We are nothing. I don't believe that this is going to be addressed until enough people are killed, enough people are hurt, enough people are violated, such that the federal government steps in, does something, at which time we may be able to hold them accountable. But for right now, I think for them, this is, you know, it's a joke. It's look at the chaos we've caused, and we're going to keep on causing it and keep on raking in the money.
I disagree with you in that I think that they are irritated by what we're doing. I know that they do listen to my show, and I know that they're not going to reach out to you. They're not going to reach out to me, although they have in the past. They're still reaching out to the new people who are coming on the scene and saying, well, why don't we work together and let's cooperate and collaborate and come up with something that we can do together and solve this issue. But what happens, Gary, every time you get a new shooting, every time you get a new horror story, Zogby makes more money because the industry will go and hire another survey, commission another survey to prove that homeowners love their HOAs and everybody is very happy. If we weren't making the noises we were, they wouldn't be coming up with these annual, meaningless, ridiculous surveys that nobody believes.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think, Sue, that one of the things that they've learned to count on is the fear of the homeowner, not wanting to say anything. Those few of us who are speaking versus those who are sequestered in their houses. But I also think that apathy is an enormous problem. Let's remember that there is all the money at the earning side of the various organizations, the management companies, the collection companies, the attorneys. There is no money at the side of the people who are trying to fight against this. And as a result, it's very difficult to get enough people on board. Now, I can tell you over the time of doing research that my biggest concern now is as follows. I don't think it's going to be the existing homeowner that's going to create the increased violence. It's going to be the children of those homeowners. And worldwide, if we look at worldwide events, wars, retaliation, protests, it's the children who grow into adulthood who remember what their families went through, who begin to retaliate. And major studies have been done on this. And so if we now look at the child who's 5, 10, watching what their family is going through and trying to understand what's happening. When they get older, I think that that's going to get worse. And there was a recent incident here in Las Vegas, where a young man went around slashing tires in his homeowners association. And it is believed that he did this in retaliation for what his mother was going through. I think we're going to see more of it.
Wow. Radio Fairfax, you're on the commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and with us is Dr. Gary Solomon, all the way from Las Vegas. That's incredible, Gary.
Well, it's a very easy thing to deny because it's not at this moment in time. And getting people to listen to this, it's not bothering me now, so why should I do anything about it? And, you know, gee, gosh, I don't need to worry about water conservation. I've got enough water to drink, and I don't need to worry about recycling. I have enough. It gets down to a lot of narcissism.
It's funny. I was with a friend yesterday, and I mentioned that I would be interviewing you today, and I talked a little bit about HOA syndrome and what you had done, and she looked at me and she says, "Why are you doing that? You're not having problems with your HOA." And said, "I'm not, but there are millions of people out there who live in HOAs who are having problems with their HOAs. But the idea that we're even concerned about it when we're not affected seems to be something that people have a hard time understanding.
Yes, why do we fight? Why do we, fight against what we believe to be unjust or unjust? And it's difficult for people to take on the notion that if it's not my problem, why should I do anything about it? And for me, this is not acceptable. For other people, it's a way of life.
Well, I'm glad that we're finding the people who, like you and me, feel that it is not acceptable, even though I've never been, subjected to any problems. You and I have put in a lot of our own personal time and money into doing what we're doing.
Yes.
To get the awareness out and to lay the issues on the table. I think there are very few of us on our side of the fence that are doing that.
I would agree with you.
Now, I'm really intrigued by so much of what you've said already on the show. Number one, that you think it's going to be the children. What do you foresee happening when the children of today grow up and end up in associations? Because that's all they're building now is associations, but not only that, they're tearing down existing non-controlled housing and replacing it with controlled housing.
Right. And that, of course, is the national movement. Again, that goes back to the amount of money that the city saves. Every time that happens, it's like the city cash register rings twice, once for the tax income and once for the savings of not having to expend money to maintain the community. Here's how I think it's going to play. Let's say the 10-year-old, the 5-year-old, goes through this experience. Their parents have been harassed. They've watched their parents be harassed. By proxy, the child's harassed. Don't do this, don't do that. The parent's house has been leaned. The parent's house possibly has been foreclosed on. Now further complications begin, and I hope I'm not going to tangent too far off. We now know that there's a process called equity theft going on.
Yes.
And here's how it works. The individual homes and homeowners associations get leaned and fined. As a result of that, they don't necessarily foreclose, but it's like money in the bank. Because when it comes time to sell that property, that means that lien and fine are now going to be paid. That is to say that a portion of the equity in the home has been stolen as a result of these fines, which they call legal, I call illegal. But if we take it further down the line and now that home becomes an inheritance, an estate, the children who are now going to inherit that estate have a portion of their estate stopped. are impeded because now they're going to be paying off all of those fines. So the $100,000 that they would have gotten, now they're only going to get 80. The other 20 going to various collection agencies. Well, let's go back now to your question, how do I think it's going to happen? Those children, now adults, are going to start retaliating against those people who did that to their mother and father. And I think that that retaliation is going to come out in a variety of ways. Certainly, violence. We're seeing it break out more and more across the country. It's difficult to know how much the media is actually presenting that. We have a tendency not to talk much about this violence in the media, and I think it's because if it involves children, we tend to nationalize it. If it involves adults, it's just adults behaving badly. But if we look at those situations, the children going after these people, I think will be more methodical. I think that some of them are going to start tracking down these former employees, those individual employees who have jobs now with collection companies and management companies. They're going to start looking for them, and those people are going to be in their senior years. And I think they're going to get them. And I think it will be very much like tracking down war criminals. And those war criminals are ultimately going to pay for what it is that they're doing now. But for right now, those individuals are so empowered, it's hard for them to imagine that that would happen.
That's quite a scenario that you've painted right here. That's scary.
Well, it's scary on another level. Here's what to me is the most scary. The people that are the ones that are at risk here for this happening to them, if I were them, I'd say, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this to people anymore. I'm going to do something that's not harmful to others. But they're doing it knowing that they're causing harm. They are the remarkable group from a psychiatric point of view. They're able to do this and go to sleep at night. I don't know how one does that.
Do they understand?
I'm
sorry, go on.
I can tell you, having been born right after the Second World War, I even as a child, never understood how the people who did what they did during the Second World War, the concentration camps, the tortures, the starvation, I never understood how the people who did it went to sleep at night. It has only been lately, in the last 3 to 4 years, that I have understood that there is simply a group of people who are able to completely ignore the detriment to others and go to sleep at night and spend the money that they've gained from these people on cars and trips and condos and houses to make their life better at the expense of others.
Do they understand what they're doing? I mean, if you talk to some of them, they have this very convincing explanation of why what they're doing is the right thing to do. Do they understand how bad they really are?
I believe that at the lower level, and what I mean by that is the employee level, the clerk at the desk, the person who's maintaining the books, I think for them it's just a job. They're being told what to do, and they may have some feelings, but they're not directly involved. At least they're not involved with how the understanding. At the upper level, at the level of the attorney, the owner of the management company, the owner of the collection company, they know exactly what they're doing. They are the same people who operated and operate in Wall Street and took the country for hundreds of billions of dollars, knowing what they were doing, and then at the end of the day went home to their families and said, "What's for dinner, dear?" There is a certain group of people who are able to do this. And clinically, I would refer to them, in my humble opinion, as antisocial personality disordered individuals, which means they're individuals who can do what they do without any moral conscience. I may have shared this story before, but in speaking with the owner of the biggest collection agency here in Nevada, I asked him, if you knew what you were doing was causing harm to the individuals that you were doing it to, would you stop? And he said, no.
Oh, really?
Well, that sums it up. And I believe that's true of all of them.
I was on a radio show where somebody from a collection agency, and I don't know if it's the same one that you talked to. I was on the radio in Las Vegas, and at the time they were trying very hard to get the federal government to change the Fair Debt Collections Practices Law to exclude HOA attorneys and collectors from having to abide by the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act. And so I asked him exactly what it was in that law that inhibited his ability to do his job. He couldn't tell me. So I went through and I said, is it that you can't lie? No. Is it that you can't steal? No. Is it that you can't fudge? No. Is it that you can't harass? No. So I went through all of the things. I mean, they're just human nature things. And mm-hmm. He kept saying, no, no, no. I said, well, there's nothing left. What is it that you're fighting? What is it that you don't like? And he said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not doing it. CAI's doing it. I said, well, you're a member of CAI. Did CAI come to you and ask you as a collector? Are you having these problems? What is it we need to do? He didn't know. But the thing is, when you pin them down and you start asking them questions and you start breaking it right down, they don't know, they don't care. It's just, I don't understand people like that.
Yes, it is hard to understand. It is hard to understand this pathology from a psychiatric point of view. And there are, as I said, a certain portion of the population who suffer from antisocial personality disorder. There's nothing we can do to change it. You can't change a personality disorder. You can't treat it. You can lock it up. And in our case, at least out here, the suicides that have been linked to it certainly have been an end result of that. But one of the, if I could slightly change tracks here,
yeah.
Now that I said suicides, the suicides out here were connected to construction default corruption. And ultimately, a few attorneys and other people committed suicide. I think we have something now like 32 or 36 indictments in it. But something emerged from it that ended up being quite positive for them rather than negative. In other words, it did not scare them away. They realized that they didn't need to do construction defect fraud. All they needed to do is increase the amount of fines, fees, and liens in communities. And they could easily make far more money than contriving such a thing as construction defect. So that continues to go on, and they now have it down to really a cash flow science. It's how many fines have we issued today? Those fines turn into projected cash flow. It is a very simple process. It's cheap. There's nothing to it. You send a letter, you got a fine, and that's it. You're stuck.
Do you know that there are two cases, one of them a Supreme Court opinion in Virginia, and the other one is out of Rhode Island, and it's on remand from the Supreme Court. But both of those cases claim that fining by an HOA or a condominium is an unconstitutional delegation of a police power.
That's an interesting concept. I would love to read those. I'd love to read those.
Both of those cases are on my website. One of them is Gilman, Unit Owners Association versus Gilman, and the other one is Foley versus Osborne Court Condominium.
I will go out of my way to read those. This is the first I've heard of that.
So there's, and what's really nice about the Gilman case, the one out of Virginia, is that they cited both the Virginia constitutions and the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And the reason for that is because in constitutionally there's a separation of the laws. You know, separation of the powers. It's not the same people who are adopting the rules who are finding you in violation of those rules and fining you. There is an entire separation, but not in an HOA. It's all the same person.
Yes. Interesting concept. And it's even more interesting that over time, people are coming on board and having additional thoughts about how to go about this. And that's very interesting. That's very interesting. One of the areas that I'm looking at myself is trying to switch homeowners association from being nonprofit organizations to profit-making organizations. Because of the way they were organized initially in the filing, it was that they were not profit-making. But the truth is they are profit-making, and they take those profits and they send them off to the management companies, the collection companies, and the attorneys. I think it's very clear in an analysis that they're really profit-making organizations.
I wonder how that would change things on a legal basis from the way they do business. But I'd like to see them stop the fining, and I'd like to see that declared unconstitutional across the country. Maybe get it done federally so that they can't fine anymore. But going back to the children, children have been targeted by HOAs from the very beginning for leaving bicycles in walkways, for having tree houses in the back, for, you know, anything at all that has to do with kids. HOAs don't seem to like it. No lemonade stands, no little signs up front that say, you know, I'll walk your dog for this, or, you know, none of that. They just don't want it. So kids are being targeted.
Yes, and the children, of course, are an easy target, and they're in turn sequestered, and I think ultimately some of them are going to come out swinging and fighting. And I would not want to be in their way when that happens. I mean, look, some of the easy things to do is to start setting these houses on fire. And it is beginning to happen in other areas. Individuals who are on the boards are not individuals who can be protected in the community yet, though I will not be surprised that dues would be raised to supply 24-hour guard service to members of the community that are on the board. But I think that there's another evolution coming, and that the evolution is going to be that the board itself won't have to exist as the attorneys take over the management and the control of the communities. They already are. They're telling the HOAs what to do. The HOAs aren't asking them. They're being told what to do. And we have a number of those examples out here. Also, the larger business entities that are being created by companies coming together and buying each other out, creating these mega management companies as the profit picture looks greater and greater. So it's something that I see creating a larger problem. I would not want to be someone who was on an HOA, and it is remarkable to me, HOA board, is remarkable to me that people still go on. That in reality, in spite of the murders that have taken place, there are people that have taken their places. The denial to me is extraordinary.
There's been a movement by CAI to replace the volunteer board members with professional boards. Of course,
yes.
They'd have to be paid.
Yes.
So do we need them?
Oh, well, they certainly need them. That produces income. Those boards will meet in places where they'll be protected. Many board meetings are already protected. They have guards. This means that the people who are professional boards won't live in the community. Those professional boards will represent many communities instead of just one community. So the homeowners themselves will have lost complete and total control of their houses in the name of this board. And of late, I would tell you, Shu, that I no longer consider these as HOA communities. I refer to them as villages. And the villages have village leaders, very much like the old days, and they are dictated to by the village leaders, who in turn have someone that is over them. In very short time, people who live in HOAs are not even going to know who is dictating to them.
We've sort of skirted around the issue of shootings and violence in HOAs. There's been another one recently.
Yes.
And before we started recording, we counted four of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's Richard Glassell in Arizona. There was, and I can't pronounce this, in Cook County in Illinois, Zdislav Kuchensky, who shot and murdered the Rita Hornemer because she was the secretary or the treasurer of the board. And in Illinois, they don't foreclose on you, but they evict you. And if you owe the association money, they can evict you and they can rent your place out until they've got the money. And I mean, this is another system that's being abused. He came home from work and found all his personal belongings on the grass, on the common area, with a crime scene tape around it, and he just lost it. And he went and shot this Rita. So that was number two. There was the guy in, was it Kentucky? A year or two ago, and now we've got one in North Carolina.
Yes. Yes, and I think that those are the ones that we tend to hear about that are murders, but the level of violence that's increasing across the country doesn't get reported, and the police themselves are starting to back away and take the position that they're just not getting involved.
Why should they? It's private property. You know, go to court. Isn't that what we're paying HOA dues for? So that the police and the real government doesn't have to do anything for their tax money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of late, I've spent a fair amount of time in court just testing cases. I'll file a case to find out how the court's going to respond to it.
Oh, really?
And each case has a little bit different flavor to it. But I can tell you the end result is, each of the judges takes the role of Pontius Pilate. They wash their hands of it, and they walk away. And now as I move forward with those cases and move them through the arbitration process, I'm continuing to document what's happening at each level. Ultimately, my goal is to ultimately file a lawsuit against the state of Nevada for ignoring the health, safety, and welfare of the community. Whether I will get hurt or not, I don't know, but I will try.
You are awesome. I told you that right at the very beginning. I think you're phenomenal. I love what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I appreciate the, for the words are words of encouragement for me.
And I want to let everybody know, in case you're not on my website to get, because I will put a link up, but check out, it's HOAacademy.com, right?
That is correct.
And you've got, tell us a little bit about your website, Gary.
You know, I started doing research about 4 years ago. This is a culmination of that research. I wanted to make sure that everything was free. And so I uploaded 86 lectures to date dealing with all of the information that I pulled together over the years regarding homeowners associations. I am a college professor, and so I'm comfortable at the podium. And I wanted to let the community know what's going on out there. I also put it up in such a way that no one pays to go on. You don't sign to go on. You don't send me a check, nor is there anything in there that asks for a contribution. I didn't want to have anything to do with making money on this. This is a purely informative educational site, and hopefully with what I've told you, you at least become aware of what you're doing. And for those people who are considering buying homes, I can't encourage you enough. Don't do it. Don't buy a home in an association. I know that there is the sense that, oh, it won't happen to me. But once you're inside, you are fodder just like anybody else. And do whatever you can to stay outside. A little short story for you, a couple little short stories. Just recently, I wanted to find out if I could buy a home in a HOA, but in the contract, I asked to have the right to have the liens removed so that they couldn't do that. They refused the contract. I also called some of the banks to find out, why are you loaning on homes in HOAs knowing that if they're foreclosed on, you all are getting stuck with the back HOA fees and dues? They could not answer me. I find it remarkable that the banks themselves have not stepped in and said, you continue to do this and we're going to stop loaning on these homes. And I think there's something going on at the banking level. I think that there is something internal that is not stopping them from doing it. But I also believe that the organizations behind the HOAs ultimately will start creating their own banks and their own credit unions.
Oh, they're already doing that.
Oh, are they? Well,
oh,
you're
yeah.
ahead of me then.
Oh, no, they've had banks for a number of years.
Okay, I didn't know that.
No, they've had banks for a number of years.
Well,
here's what the management companies will tell you. They'll say, why don't you open an account with this bank? That way we don't have to collect the money and open envelopes and credit accounts. It will just go straight to the bank and they'll take care of the whole process for us. And board members fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
Yep.
And so the money just goes directly to the bank.
Well, what you're telling me is the first time I've heard this, so.
Well, do you know that some of them, and this is especially true in Texas, that some of the management companies or the HOAs or somehow they're actually selling gas and water and all of these other utilities that you don't go through the regular channels and to buy that. And it's written in your governing documents that if you buy here, you will get your natural gas from this company because they deregulated all of that.
Well, I didn't know that, Sue. That's very interesting. I knew that it was coming. I didn't know that it was already here. One of the things also that I don't know if you're aware of this that's coming is that they're going to start treating the gated communities as toll roads. So you bought into the community, the gate closes, and now they're going to start charging you each time you come through the gate as a toll process.
You're kidding. That's a new one on me.
And they're going to start charging you for every guest that comes into the property. And you'll be charged for coming and going because the city doesn't own the road. It's owned by the community, and therefore it's additional income. Furthermore, and I don't know this one for sure, but I believe that the mail services you're now going to be charged every time you receive mail, because to get the mail, the service has to come onto the property. So anything that can produce income, treating it like a separate country, you need a passport to get in. Everybody that comes into that community is going to pay a fee in one way or the other.
Well, you know, on my website, it's you're now leaving the American zone. You do know that, right?
Yes.
I've always said that. But you're going to start getting a fee for getting mail, and every time you go into one of these gulags?
You'll get a charge anytime a plumber comes out to fix your plumbing, because that person's coming to see you. Therefore, they're on the community streets. You need to be charged for that.
Okay.
Someone comes to repair your house, you're going to be charged for that.
Okay. How far can we push people before they push back? Are they sheep? Are they going to accept this? Are they going to pay it? Are they going to roll over and go with the flow? Or are they going to stand up and say, take a flying leap?
I think the answer to Shu is that how long it's going to take, I'm shocked that it's taken this long. Even as a psychologist, I would have thought that the nature of us humans would have stepped in, given what we know about the repressive nature in other countries and the wars that have taken place. This is a war. And this is the build-up to that war. When people are in the middle of it, they can't see it happening. At some point along the way, it boils over. People storm the gates. How long will it take for people to start storming the gates? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many more shootings and killings have to take place. The national news regarding the killings at the theater and at the school and those people that died, that literally put the U.S. at standstill. I don't know if it's going to take a mass shooting at a homeowners association, or if the government's position is going to be, look, we can't afford to put a stop to that. Let's play it down. And it feels like that has happened. It feels to me like these shootings, the violence, is very much played down. And I don't know. I sometimes think, I'm speaking to you right now. My home overlooks the city of Las Vegas. I literally am at the top of a mountain. I can see the entire city, and I wonder sometimes if I'm not going to see an entire community up in flames.
Wow. We're almost out of time, Gary, but do you think that there's any chance for this concept to work?
I do think that the answer is yes. I do think that the solution has to be at the federal level. I don't see it taking place at the state level. I think the stronger that the organizations get, the lobbyists, makes it difficult to break through the federal level. But my idealism wants to believe that once one gets in front of a Supreme Court judge, which could take many, many years, that we can break through this.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Gary. And I hope you'll come back really soon.
I'm available, Shu, anytime that you want to chat. It's always a pleasure, and I hope that it's helpful to your listeners.
I think you've given me a lot of food for thought here. And I think, well, as I said, I think what you've done is phenomenal. I think you're phenomenal, and I thank you so very much.
You are welcome.
please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.